5th. Good evening. I don't know if this was a good idea. I can erase that part. I can edit out that poor opening. Good evening, blog. It's Thursday, the 5th of August, 2010. 10:48 p.m. Meow. Nada's
being very cute.
Nada's being very cute. I'm here in the dining room at Shahe Gakure with Nada, obviously being very cute. And my dear old friend, Em, from way back in the day, she's waving, hello. It's come to stay with me for a sadly short period of time. It's like 2 nights. Haven't seen her in like a year. I went to visit her on my way to New York a year ago. And the last time she came to stay with me was in like late 2008. We also have some audio of that. Yeah, time flies. And he came to stay with me 3 times that year. 2009, nothing. Yeah. Fucking peace week.
I was very busy in Sydney.
She was very busy in Sydney where she lives. I don't know if I mentioned that she lives in Sydney. And when she arrived, we went to Bimbo. I'll probably use the picture of us at Bimbo because it's too dark to take another picture right now here in the dining room. No.
We both had more energy when we took that other picture. So
we both had more energy. So it'll provide a nice counterpoint to this audio, which captures us both in a state of very little energy. Em's been running around all day, looking at art, doing art things, like the artist that she is.
Art.
Art. What is it good for? Oh, no, that's... Was it Oscar Wilde?
He said that.
He said all art is you know, long spiel about the nature of art, and the parting shot is all art by definition is completely useless.
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway, we're both completely useless, but I'm completely zonked as well. Because I think I. Although that's also true, we are, in a sense. I quite like that. People think that that's a pretentious way to look at things, but I...
Nature.
That's another way of looking at it. You can... pluralistic viewpoint, see? Nothing is anything. It's just the illusion of language that causes us to believe that things are things, actually.
Oh, when you said nothing is anything, I thought you were making a positive affirmative statement about nature of nothing.
It could be taken that way.
That's not what you...
It's not really what I was getting at, but nothing is anything. Everything is like everything, man, and all of that. I'm reminded of Joseph Comer. He's currently traveling. My friend Joseph is currently traveling around Europe.
Is this something plastic?
No, I think that's just the stove. Like, I'm cooking dinner slowly, blearily. Oh yeah, there's a bit of plastic on the stove. That would explain the horrible plasticky burning smell. Anyway, yeah. Point is, I really wanted to do some audio, but unfortunately she's leaving tomorrow morning and we're both completely zonked and useless. I think that I have finally caught a cold after a very long, harsh winter of managing to stay cold-free. I think I'm a bit sick. And she's tired, and I'm tired. And, yeah, so this is like...
Like what?
It's like a wet weekend.
It has been wet.
It has been. It's not been a weekend, but it has been wet. We've been having terrible leakage problems.
There might be some...
Through the windows. There's other gutters, which Grimsey very innovatively tried to climb up and clean out without the use of the big stepladder. It's not turned on. It's waiting for the rust to cook.
That's not helpful then, what I'm doing. It doesn't really hurt.
It's not helpful in the sense of being unhelpful.
Yeah, I can't bother doing it if
it's not helpful. That's not helpful, Em. It's not helpful. It's not like it's not helpful in that sense. Again, we're getting caught up in language. Language has a lot to answer for, I think. Yeah, Kaimo is always saying, because he's a linguist, just did his honours thesis in linguistics, and he loves this quote. I think it might be Wittgenstein said, "The limits of my language are the limits of my world."
True.
And he said, it's true to a large extent. I think it's, to the extent that it's true, it's depressing, because it doesn't have to be. The limits of your language don't have to be the limits of your world.
Well, maybe it's the limits of your limit of your experience, not of your world, because the world could be other things that you can't.
Indeed, we're all influenced all the time by things that we can't perceive.
That's right.
But more to the point, I think if you're enthralled by the illusion of language, which we all are to a greater or lesser extent, then the limits of your language will, to a very significant degree, define the limits of your world. Doesn't have to be the case. The trick is to recognise that just because we say everything in a... This is very involved and philosophical. I've always got to get some kind of pontification in. Just because we're trapped in this verb-subject... subject, verb, object, structure of language, which tells us all the time that things are things. That's what this thing is. You know, and then we argue and we fight wars about it. No, it's a this. No, it's a that. You know, actually, it's all made up. It's just because of the way language is structured that we think that you can define anything.
You know Heisenberg's principle of uncertainty?
Yes.
I feel like there's some way to relate that to what we're doing at the moment, which is... we were not speaking at all, and you're like, oh, we're going to record some audio, but we can't, because it's like, and that was about all that was said for a good hour or something. And then as soon as this was switched
for
on,
a good, like,
all this, you know,
all this verbiage, despite our zonk stat, all of this zonked verbiage came verbiaging out. There you go. And this is... Freakley is not just decided not to move back to Melbourne, which I'm very disappointed
really?
About. Yeah.
What's she
going to
do?
She's in Perth. She's going to stay there, apparently, because her friend, who she's been talking about moving down with for ages, came down, got a house, said the other guy was a bit weird in the house, and moved out, and she decided not to move.
Right.
So...
she's going for a slower, easier life, perhaps.
Maybe she's just resigned herself to life in Perth. I do not know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what she's
maybe
at
she
moment.
Just likes variety.
Maybe. Variety, the variety of staying, living in Perth.
Well, how long has she been there for? Wasn't she away?
She was away in New York for...
but not for that
for
long.
Ages, for oh. about... I can't even remember now, a year and a bit.
Well, there
and
you go.
And I think she came back to Australia about 6 months ago.
Oh,
like
right,
that.
And so she's been in Perth all that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, anyway, this is drifting from the point... she's always all about the making art, man. It's good because it pulls form from the void. It's a constructive act. It fights against nihilism and these things that make one depressed.
It's true.
And this is an exemplification of that. We're sitting there like shags on rocks on a wet weekend.
I rarely think about those things to do with art. Like, I'm so down on art, but I'm persist in doing it.
You're so down on it. Yeah, that's right. You just want to have a farm.
I don't want to have a farm. I said permaculture garden.
Oh, you want
that's
a permaculture
different.
Garden. I'm sorry, I was getting inflated with too.
I know that farming's not fun. But it is lovely to wander in a garden.
I quite like this idea of being self-sustaining. Have you seen the Louis Theroux? Have you seen Louis Theroux? You don't know Louis Theroux?
What's that?
He's this charming British... he's the son of Paul Theroux, the travel writer. He's this very charming, geeky, bespectacled British journalist fellow, and he goes around meeting strange subcultural types in America and making documentaries about them, and they're beautiful. And there's one he did about survivalists, you know, like people who very often, like, extremely paranoid and suspicious of the government, who create communes where they can live, you know, where they could survive a nuclear attack for a year and so on. And I can't remember where I was going with that, but, oh yeah.
Survivalism.
And but not so much the survivalist element, but the self-sufficiency thing. Like, it's a total fantasy of mine to go, I don't have anything like the skills or the resources it would take to actually do this in practice, but
no,
to get a small patch of land and just be completely self-sufficient. Be awesome.
I don't need to be completely self-sufficient, but I would like to grow some of the food that I eat, and I would like to have better, you know,
looking after myself skills, like knowing how to build some things like shelter and stuff like that, just to feel like I have a bit more power over those things in my life as an individual, rather than having to necessarily completely always depend on industrial, post-industrial, whatever kind of society that we have set up, which I'm completely reliant on that system to survive, because I can't build my own shelter and I don't grow my own food. And
yeah, and you wouldn't know where to start.
No. Well, I would know where to start with growing some of my own food, and I suppose that's probably why I want to do it. But it's also the reason I want to do it is just because it's really lovely to grow things and maintain a garden, and it has its own life, but it's also influenced by you, and it's just such a nice thing.
It's very satisfying,
Had a garden for a while, but it's not.
Gardening's something, one of these many things I've always sort of meant to get into, always wanted to. My mum for a long time was going to teach me, it's a huge garden, was going to teach me how to garden, but we never really got around to it. Sadly, but
I would garden if I had a garden, but I only have pots, and that's just like, that's not gardens. They're so, it's like having fish in an aquarium versus
and calling
going
yourself
fishing, you know, like it's just not the same thing at all. It's so high maintenance, looking after pot plants, and you know, they need so much from you. They don't have their own life, they're completely caged.
Yeah. Whereas a garden is much more,
a garden does things without you. Like, you know, if you abandon a corner of it, then a year later when something seasonal changes, comes around again, something else is going to start growing there. And things just do things. Even if you don't do anything, you still have the garden.
That's sort of
still
like...
the garden still does things.
When you think of the word garden, it's got all these connotations of like, you know, and Russ
being
quote famously
things being bound in
the, no the opposite, the mind of man is a savage garden, you know, the secret garden. There's all kinds of literary references about gardens as being this kind of as being this wild, interesting places, you know, despite being by definition cultivated. Gardens are places where stuff happens.
But it's the combination of the cultivated and the wild that makes it appealing, because if it's just wild, that's good too, that's another thing, but that's not something you can kind of own or manipulate. That's just something you can kind of go and experience or whatever.
Yes.
And some people, I guess, their desire is really to live somewhere that's totally wild. But I like the idea of a bit of a cross between.
Man, we've done so well. I've got no idea if this audio will actually be at the slightest bit interesting to listen to. It may be. Sorry.
But we've had a conversation.
We've had totally had a conversation and talked. You weren't even going to talk, really. You didn't look like you... Em didn't even look like she had the capacity to open her mouth before. And there you go. You want a moral? There you go. Creative acts are fucking energising.
It's just like in a Madonna movie.
They're good. Desperately Seeking Susan.
No, not that one.
Which I totally watched at your place. Oh, I can't even remember.
Warren Beatty walks in the room and like looks at her like with disdain and says something about how she wouldn't do anything if no one was watching anyway, because it's all about being watched.
Didn't Warren Beatty say that?
It's when they were dating.
They were dating. Jesus, that's an American expression. Dating.
No. When they were having some sort of sex.
They were dating.
That wasn't addressed in the movie.
They were seeing each other. They were involved and other such euphemisms. Warren Beatty said, well, what's the point of doing anything? The camera switched off and Madonna was like, yep, totally.
But he was saying it and to he was her, saying, like, as he was a way of dissing her.
Yeah, he was
like,
saying
oh,
it.
Like, oh, you're
just
like...
why do anything? And she was like, yep.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I guess we're more likely to go
than
we thought.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm... I think you're less narcissistic than I am.
No, I'm narcissistic.
I'd like to think I'm less narcissistic than Madonna, but...
well,
really nice.
You have slightly less opportunity than her to be narcissistic.
What do you mean? I've got the internet, man. Everybody's... everybody's got...
potential narcissism when there's, like, millions of people who are also interested in you. There can be, you can like have a
whole I see what you mean.
You actually have to, you know,
yeah,
do some other things that aren't all about you. That's to the survive. Thing.
Narcissism is socially acceptable provided you actually have an audience.
Yeah.
If you're just sort of like being narcissistic into a void, everyone will just look at you and think you're an idiot.
Well, they won't look at you.
To the extent they do.
They won't think anything about
it. To the extent they do, they will not give you credit. But if you're Madonna, well, I don't know. Madonna's kind of a good example. Good Lady Gaga.
Yeah, that's right. Madonna is old hat.
Oh my God, big, big frozen broccoli float. Frozen veggies are horrible, really. I just like because for years I only had this tiny little fridge with no real freezer, and I was always like, man, when I get a freezer I'll be able to freeze meat and freeze vegetables and have supplies. And again, it's my kind of survivalist hoarding nesting instinct, which comes out especially in the winter. I'd like to stock up as much as possible. I've got huge heaving cupboards full of food.
It is very practical to have, you know, stuff stored. And vegetables and things, they just go off if you don't use them, and that's a waste.
It is a waste.
We have fruit and veg place pretty much across the road, so it's convenient. It's easy just to, like, we've stopped buying things like vegetables from the supermarket. You know, or the shopping centre, we just buy like what we need that day, go out and get it for vegetables, which is kind of nice.
Okay, I have a feeling.
Test this?
Yeah, I don't know. Test the rice. Yeah,
it
kind of looks ready. I didn't. Who knows? I don't know if you have a track of time. But... So.
It's ready.
I have a feeling this audio is going to be spectacularly banal.
Probably.
And as sort of blah as we feel. But we did actually talk and actually got some content. When it, you know, I thought when I turned this on, we would probably just sort of sit there and go. Mm.
Mm.
So you know, it just goes to show.
Do you have a system for draining this?
Do I have a system? I do. Let me just get this. I'll get the system out of the cupboard.
Oh, good. I'll just apply the system.
Yeah. Can you? Do you want me to give you a tutorial? The system of which we speak
is self-explanatory kind of
system. Actually, no, it's kind of a secret. We can't really talk about that. It's one of those Shahid Kurit things that you really have to have stayed here to understand. But yeah, however banal the audio is, and I don't even know if I'll use it, having said that, I probably will.
You could just edit in, like, just get all the good bits.
But no, I quite like that idea. Like, but we got content. We discussed big issues. We talked about a range of subjects. They were it was interesting subject matter, however blurishly we talked about it. We created something. We pulled form from the void and created something where before there was nothing. And we've got fucking... We've got the audio proof.
Where do you want this?
Just plonk it down. No, just plonk it down. Now my rice probably will be cold by the time that the broccoli florets have defrosted. It's just like that.
Well, I can put it in there and put the lid on it, and that might keep the heating.
Okay, it's not a big deal anyway.
No, because your food will kind of heat it up.
Yeah. And even then, it's not a big deal. You know, earlier on, I was thinking because I was so exhausted, I was just going to open a can of soup and eat it cold. So you know.
I eat a lot of toast.
Toast's nice.
Toast is kind of my version of that. Because, you know, you can have, like, heaps of loaves of bread in the freezer and you can just, it's there, it's available when you need it.
Yeah.
It's not very nutritious, though, just toast.
It's not unnutritious, it's just not very balanced, it's pure carbohydrate.
No, it doesn't have anything fresh in it.
That's why I like soup, because it's got variety. This is something my mum hammered into me very, very hard. When I was young, you must eat a balanced diet. It stuck with me.
I think she's probably right. I eat a lot of carbs. Okay, we've turned a corner to too banal. I'm turning back.
I think we're done anyway. I think that's really it. Is there any closing remarks you'd like to make?
Nah.
Nah.
Ah.
All right. Let me work. That's all.